Thank you, Lord, for this evening. Thank you, Father, for this day. Lord, we thank you for life itself. Lord, we thank you for light that you bring to our hearts, to our lives. Lord, we just long to walk in the light with you, because you said if we walk in the light as you are in the light, that we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And we praise you for that, Lord. And we just ask you to keep us walking in the light. Lord, keep shining the light that we can see. Hallelujah. Be with us now as we sing your praises. Bless your precious name. Amen.
Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. He shall give his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. He shall give his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Through our God we shall do valiantly. It is he who will tread down the enemy. We'll sing and shout his victory. Christ is King, for God has won the victory and set his people free. His word has slain the enemy. The earth shall stand and see that through our God we shall do valiantly. It is he who will tread down the enemy. We'll sing and shout the victory. Christ is King. God has won the victory and set his people free. His word has slain the enemy. The earth shall stand and see that through our God he shall do valiantly. It is he who will tread down the enemy. We'll sing and shout the victory. Christ is King. Christ is King. Christ is King.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior. Glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us. Blessed Redeemer, living Word. Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us.
it say, instead of living word living in us?
Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed
zeal of God
that's consumed me. It burns in my soul,
a driving force that cannot be stopped, a fire that cannot be quenched. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
God has consumed me.
It burns in my soul,
a driving force that cannot be stopped, a fire that cannot be quenched. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
One more time.
The zeal of God has consumed me. It burns in my soul, a driving force that cannot be stopped, a fire that cannot be quenched. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. My every longing keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of His grace, resting neath His sheltering wing, always looking on His smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes He leads me waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see His footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon He's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with Him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing.
Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Sweetest name I know, fills my every longing. Does he do that? Does he keep you singing as you go along?
Often tossed and driven on the restless sea of time, somber skies and howling tempests oft succeed a bright sunshine. In that land of perfect day, when the mists have rolled away, we will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we'll tell the story how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. We are often destitute of the things that life demands, want of food and want of shelter, thirsty hills and barren lands. We are trusting in the Lord, and according to his word, we will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we'll tell the story how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But he guides us with his eye, and we'll follow till we die, for we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we'll tell the story how we've overcome, for we'll understand it better by and by. Temptations, hidden snares often take us unawares, and our hearts are made to bleed for any thoughtless word or deed. And we wonder why the test when we try to do our best, but we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we'll tell the story how we overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we'll tell the story how we've overcome, for we'll understand it better by and by.
Hallelujah.
As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow, many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on, through him I must win. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to him, he will give me light. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads whate'er betide. Oh,
to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then my Lord directs my bark, he does safely keep, and he leads me gently on through this world below. He's a real friend to me, oh, I love him so. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice.
Listen to the chorus one more time.
Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice.
Hallelujah.
I'm thankful that the chalk drawing went well this morning. Had a lot of problems on Friday night. I plugged in my light hood and I turned on my white lights. There was this loud pop and bright flash came out of my control box. I figured something was wrong, so I took the control box apart and all the wires were connected fine. It seemed okay, and we took apart the light hood itself. My grandpa said there might be something up there, and all the connections seemed fine there too. And I was just like, Lord, what's the problem? I don't know what's going on. And anyways, then I looked down, and right in the light bulb socket, there was a washer sitting in there, and that was the only problem. So I'm thankful that I got it figured out and that everything worked out this morning.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, hope for sinners slain. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. When I stand in glory, I will see his face, and there I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. Thank you, my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done.
Hallelujah.
soul follows hard after thee. Early in the morning will I rise up and seek thee, and because thou hast been my help, under the shadow of thy wing I will rejoice. My soul follows hard after thee. Early in the morning will I rise up and seek thee, and because thou hast been my Lord, I'm gonna love you, love you, Lord. Lord, I'm gonna love you, love you, Lord. Lord, I'm gonna love you with all that's in my heart. Lord, I'm gonna
you turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. I just wanted to take a couple of weeks. We had started, not last week, but the week before, talking about the sequence of events in the end times. And I believe it's important because since September 11th, I actually don't know the last couple of weeks, but until the last couple of weeks anyway, the number one selling book was The Prophecies of Nostradamus. And in Christian bookstores, Bible sales have increased 50%, and so have books concerning Bible prophecy. So people are out there looking for answers, and we want to have the answers for them. And since it's such an interest, I thought I would share with you a sequence of events in the end times. What I believe, as far as the end times goes, is the fundamentalist view. I believe the same way the Assemblies of God have believed from their very beginning. And so I would share those with you tonight. And we talked 2 weeks ago about the next event that will take place on God's calendar of events, and that is the rapture of the church, when Jesus will come and he will sound the trumpet, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him to meet the Lord in the air. And then the scripture says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That is what is going to happen someday. To those who have asked Jesus Christ into their heart to be their Lord and Savior, they are going to be caught up into heaven to meet the Lord in the air. And then we'll get into the message tonight. Revelation chapter 7, beginning with verse 2. Revelation chapter 7, beginning with verse 2. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And then tonight I would like you to skip on down a couple of verses to verses 9 and 10. Same chapter, Revelation 7, verses 9 and 10. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God. And then may the Lord add his blessing to his word this evening. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. We are going to have a great revival that is going to be worldwide. People from all tongues and nations and people groups are going to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It'll be a tremendous, tremendous move of God. The shocking truth is that this revival has nothing to do with the Church of Jesus Christ. In fact, the church won't even be here as we know it when this particular revival hits. The greatest revival in the history of mankind. It'll be a little shocking because this revival won't come through media, not media ministry. It will have little or nothing to do with radio or TV or print, except as a source of news. When the revival hits, there won't be a government anywhere that will allow for Christian broadcasting. The greatest revival in the history of mankind will result as a sovereign move of God. God will someday set in motion the actions that will result in worldwide bowing to Jesus Christ. And I say that to say to you tonight that although I believe that we should use whatever means we have available to us to spread the gospel, it still takes a sovereign move of God to make it happen. And if God has nothing, he will work with nothing. He'll work with what he has. He'll work with you and I, if that's all we have, to bring revival to our place in the world. God is big. He can do anything that he wants to do. And we need to realize that. And these things that we use are a means of spreading the gospel. But unless we have a sovereign move of God, we can do all of the programs and all of the media outlets we want to do with no results. God has to be in it. God has to move. Scripture tells us that 144,000 people will be chosen by God to be witnesses or to be evangelists during this revival. Well, just as God chose Paul on the road to Damascus, these people will be chosen to be a witness for him. But who are they? Who are these witnesses? Well, they're not members of the Jehovah Witnesses, that's for sure. Scripture reveals plainly who their identity is. 144,000 out of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Jews, every one of them. Descendants of Abraham, 144,000 Hebrews scattered all over the world. There is probably not a nation in the world today where there is not some Jews living. And suddenly, 144,000 of them will be stopped in their tracks as the Apostle Paul was. Just think for a moment what it would be like to have 144,000 Apostle Pauls on the face of the earth. That's what's going to happen. Paul was able to take the gospel to unknown parts of the world at his time, single-handedly, and with the blessing of a few others and the churches that backed him. Imagine what will happen with 144,000 sold-out people, sold-out witnesses for Jesus Christ. It's going to be a tremendous revival. Multitudes will be saved. Maybe there will be more saved in that short time than in 2,000 years of church history. Most of those who get saved, however, will pay for their salvation with their lives, because it's a time of great tribulation. The great tribulation is a visit of God's wrath on a worldwide scale. The tribulation will be God judging the earth because of its wickedness and rejection of his Son. That's bad news for them. Bad news for those that will be left. But that's what the tribulation is all about. It's not man's wrath against another man. This will be God's wrath against a people who has rejected him. The prophet Zephaniah pictured it as a time of distress, trouble, desolation, and darkness. Jesus said if those days had not been shortened, nobody would remain alive. John graphically portrayed the tribulation and man's efforts to get away from God in Revelation chapter 6, verses 15 through 17, says the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Oh, there's going to be a great prayer meeting. Probably the greatest prayer meeting in the history of mankind. But for many, tragically, God will not hear because they don't respond to him in the right way. And the age of grace has ended. You know, most preachers, I'll be honest with you, won't preach this kind of thing. Most churches today have a one-sided view of God. It's the love of God. You know, it's the love and mercy of God, and yet there's more to God than just his love. There is also justice and holiness and honor. There's that intense matter of holiness and law. And so I don't want to be guilty of that. I don't want to be guilty of just looking at one side of God. Yes, God is a God of grace, but he's also a God of judgment. God is a God of mercy, but he's also a God of righteousness and holiness. Many churches are one-sided. Praise has become the dominant part of many services, and I thank God for praise, but let us not ignore the important matters of repentance and confession and conviction and sorrow over sin. Let us not forget the matter of the holy majesty of God. Now, here are some basic reasons for the tribulation. Number one, Gentile nations will have to give an account of how they treated the Jewish people down through the centuries. Satan knows that if he can destroy Israel, God's plan will be thwarted. And so the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew deals with the judgment of the living nations. We also know it as the sheep-goat judgment. Though in that judgment, nations will give an account of how they responded to the Lord's people. how they treated Israel. Number two, God will deal with Israel in the tribulation period. The people like the signs and they like the wonders and they like the healings that Jesus performed when he was on earth. But they didn't like his message to repent. You remember a few weeks ago I said the very first message that Jesus preached was a message of repentance? First words out of his mouth, as far as the sermon was concerned, was repent, for the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is at hand. They didn't like that message. And they decided that Jesus was better off on a cross than a throne, so they crucified him. The tribulation will bring judgment on that nation. Number three, it will be to give people a view of Satan and prove that there can be no peace without him. God will let Satan go in the tribulation. If you think it's bad now, if you think evil is bad in our world now, imagine what it would be like with Satan himself on the earth, doing all kinds of evil, doing whatever he wants to do, having free reign and course and the Holy Spirit not restraining his evil activities. People will see what Satan is really like. You know, the Antichrist is named the man of lawlessness. Can you believe a civilization where there is no law? Where everybody does what they want to do. There's no laws. Everybody does that which is right in their own eyes. You want to kill somebody, you kill them. You want to steal from somebody, you steal from them. Lawlessness will abound. We see what happens when we just take the Ten Commandments down from the walls of our courtrooms and our schools. We see what's happened since then. And there will be no fear of God before the people's eyes. Number four, God will pour out his wrath for the world's rejection of the gospel. And God will pour out some very definite plagues upon the earth. An angel will empty his vial in the fountains and waters, and they will turn to blood. And that's just one of many. And you might think that I'm painting a dark picture today. Let me tell you, it will be worse than I could ever describe. But you don't have to be there. Amen. You don't have to be there. The reasons for the Great Tribulation have nothing to do with the church. It will be a time of condemnation, but there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. When there is supernatural judgment on the earth, God delivers his people first. Now, I wouldn't advise waiting until the tribulation to try to get saved. I wouldn't advise that. Some people think, well, you know, I could just wait around until this tribulation happens. And then I know that I got a short time left, but then I'll get saved and I'll give my life to Christ. Those that can't live for Christ now, how will they ever die for him later on? Yes, I believe the church won't be there. She won't be here for the worldwide revival either. And that means that our time is now. The church's time to shine is now. We are now in the church age. The Lord has given us this opportunity to see what we can do for him, to win as many souls to the Lord as we possibly can. Our time is now. We cannot afford to wait another hour. In fact, we cannot afford to wait another minute. We must be about our master's business. We have to ask God for a supernatural move of his upon this land. You know, I believe that there is going to be a great revival in the tribulation, but I also believe that we can have revival right now. Do you believe that? I believe that we can. And I believe, though, it's going to take a sovereign move of God. It's going to take God's people doing what they can do, asking him to empower them, asking them to give him a boldness in witnessing, getting on our faces and praying and seeking God. And God can give a sovereign move. If you study the revivals in history, you see that they are just sovereign moves of God. God might start that revival with just a person or a small group of people, but he brings the revival in his way. You know, there is no formula for revival. I have not been able to find one. I've not been able to find, if you do this, this, and this, you'll have revival. Sovereign move of God means God decides his people are ready and he's going to send a revival. We can learn from the revival to come. We don't need organizations, high technology. All we need is a move of God's Spirit, a sovereign move of God, and the time is now. Someone has said, 100 years ago, the preachers were saying that the world was coming to an end, and the scientists were laughing at them. Now the scientists are saying that the world is coming to an end, and the preachers are laughing at them. Some have said the gospel has to be preached in all the world before the Lord Jesus Christ can come back. That's not really what the scripture says. It says that the gospel has to be preached in all the world before the end comes. The end what? The end of this age. The end of our world as we know it. Our time is now. Jesus could come at any moment. Are you ready for his return? Would you be satisfied and say, Lord, I have done all that I could do. I took advantage of my time. I did the best that I could. I redeemed the time that you gave me. Time for us to step to the plate and to step to the forefront. It's now. And then after the, well, along with this, the tribulation period and the sealing of the 144,000 Jews, there arises one known as the Antichrist. The devil is now free to bring his Antichrist to power. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 8 through 12, it says, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." And so the Antichrist is going to come. He's really powerless compared to the power of our Lord, but his power lies in the fact that he is able to do some signs and wonders, and he is able to deceive the nations of the world and the peoples of the world. And why is he able to deceive them? He is able to deceive them because they chose not to believe the truth. They didn't believe the truth of what I'm telling you tonight, and so they were sent a strong delusion that they believed. They believed a lie. And because they didn't have pleasure in righteousness, but took pleasure in unrighteousness and sin, this delusion came and they followed the wrong Christ. They followed the Antichrist to destruction. That Antichrist, during the tribulation period, will sign a 7-year peace treaty with Israel. It's also known as the covenant of death. Actually, that treaty begins, I believe it begins the period of the tribulation, the 7-year tribulation period. Also known as the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy in the time of Jacob's trouble. In Daniel chapter 9, in verse 27, it says, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease." If you study it out there, the weeks of Daniel, here it comes out to 7 years. "And cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." And so, you know, there's never going to be peace in the Middle East. There's continually war and conflict there. But the Antichrist is going to come in, and he is going to get people to sign an agreement, a treaty, a peace treaty in the Middle East. And because he is able to do this, the nations of the world are going to follow him. They're going to look to him. They're going to look to him as the man of peace. And he'll be able to establish that, and he'll make that treaty for 7 years, but he's going to break that treaty. And we'll get to that later on. But it's during this 7-year tribulation period, after this peace treaty has been signed, that God judges the earth. And the judgments of the book of Revelation are poured out upon this earth. The judgments contain seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven bowls of the wrath of God. During the seven-year period, the following judgments will hit planet Earth. Let me just read through those first to you. The first seal is a white horse, which is the Antichrist as he comes to conquer. And then the second is wars upon the earth. The third seal is worldwide economic troubles. The fourth seal is death released. 1/4 of the world's population to die by plagues, disease, and from wild beasts of the earth. The fifth seal is persecution and killing of God's people worldwide. The sixth seal is a massive earthquake. And the seventh seal is interesting because it's a time of silence. But it's a time of silence just before the seven trumpet judgments. They are the first trumpet, hail, fire, and blood, with 1/3 of all grass and trees burned up. The second trumpet is a great mountain hits the sea. 1/3 of all ocean becomes blood. 1/3 of all sea life dies. And 1/3 of ships are destroyed. The third trumpet is a star called Wormwood, who hits the earth and poisons another third of the fresh water supply. The fourth trumpet is 1/3 of the sun and moon are darkened. The fifth trumpet, locusts that are beasts that sting and torment men, will be loosed from the pit. These locusts will bite and they will immobilize people. And the people that are bitten will wish to die, but will be unable to do so. The sixth trumpet is demons are released. And just a chilling verse that it says that all hell will follow the Antichrist. Now, I don't know what's all in hell, but I don't even shudder to think about the hideous things that could come from hell. They're going to be on planet Earth. You know some of those horror movies, hopefully that you haven't watched? Those things are going to be realities in the tribulation period. An Eastern army will kill 1/3 of the world's population. The seventh trumpet cries from heaven, and seven bowl judgments to be released on earth. The first bowl is terrible and painful sores, boils that break out on all who worship the beast. All who worship and follow the Antichrist only will receive these terrible and painful sores. The second bowl, entire ocean becomes blood. All sea life dies. The third bowl, fresh water becomes blood. No more fresh drinking water. The fourth bowl, the sun increases its heat and it scorches and burns people. The fifth bowl is supernatural darkness on earth. The sixth, the great Eastern army heads toward Armageddon in the Middle East for the final battle. How many of you have heard of Armageddon? Even the world talks about Armageddon, don't they? We're heading toward Armageddon. We hear that time and time again. There is going to be an Armageddon. There really is. There's going to be a great battle that takes place in the Valley of Megiddo in the Middle East. The nations of this world are going to gather together. They think they're going to do war against each other. But the Lord is going to come back and they're going to turn and do battle against him and us as we return with him. The seventh bowl is Babylon destroyed, a massive earthquakes, and get this, 100-pound hailstones to devastate the earth. Also during this time of tribulation, Daniel talked about the abomination of desolation. This event occurs, from what I understand of Bible prophecy, exactly 3.5 years after the Antichrist signs his peace deal with Israel. The Antichrist goes into the newly rebuilt temple in Jerusalem, and there he claims to be God. He desecrates the temple as he demands worship from all who dwell on the earth. At this point, the mark of the beast is also applied, where nobody will be able to buy or sell unless they have this mark. The mark will be either put in your hand or in your forehead. the mark of the beast. His number is 666. I don't know what all that means. I know that the number of man is six, and I know that Satan will have an unholy trinity, and so maybe the 666 is simply man setting himself up to be God, as the Antichrist does that. He sets himself up to be God, and then a chilling thing happens, though. Satan himself comes in and possesses this Antichrist. The only way to get this mark is to worship the Antichrist. I want to settle some fears that you might have tonight. People are worried today. Am I going to be forced to take the mark? Is the mark of the beast already here? Well, it could come very quickly. But I don't believe that the mark of the beast is in the world today. And I believe that people who take the mark will realize what they are doing. And furthermore, I don't believe it can happen to a Christian in this age because I believe in the rapture, that Christians will be taken out of here before that mark is presented. And then there will be those, of course, who become Christians during the Great Tribulation. They will know the truth about the Antichrist and who he is. But whoever takes the mark, whoever takes the mark of the Antichrist will perish forever in the lake of fire. At that moment that they receive that mark, their fate will be sealed for all of eternity. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verses 15 through 19, "When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days." Revelation 14, verses 9 through 11, "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." I'll close with one more event in history. The Russian invasion of Israel. You might have heard about the Russian invasion of Israel. It's called Gog and Magog in Scripture, from Isaiah chapter 38. There are many, 39, Ezekiel 39, sorry. There are many speculations as to the exact timing of the Russian invasion. Someday Russia will invade Israel. Some believe it'll occur before the rapture. Others believe that it will occur sometime during the 7-year tribulation period. Now, I'm not real dogmatic on this, but I lean for this war to be a part of Armageddon, just prior to Armageddon, at the start of Armageddon, during the 7-year tribulation period. Russia will gain her support, her allies. A huge army will be formed, and one day they will attack the nation of Israel. I read an interesting book a few years back, written by David Lewis, a prophecy expert, Assemblies of God. The title of the book was Magog 1982 Canceled. And he went in there and he had proof that at that time Russia was ready to invade Israel. Only the hand of God stopped that from happening. Why did God stop it? Maybe to give us more time. But you know what? Whatever, I believe the church is living on borrowed time. I really do. I believe that these things could happen at any time. That the return of Jesus Christ could be so close. And that's why I want you to be aware of these things. And that's why I want you to understand these things and do as much as you can, because our time might be short. If I'm wrong and Jesus doesn't come for thousands of years, we have lost nothing by being ready, by being prepared and working and doing our best while we are expecting his return. scripture. I'll just share with you why I think that maybe this battle will occur at the end of the seven-year period. Because scripture states that Israel would be burning the weapons of war for 7 years, and they would not touch the trees of the woods during that time. So this is Ezekiel chapter 39, verses 9 through 10, and they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows, and the hand staves and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years, so that they shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any of the forests, for they shall burn the weapons with fire, and they shall spoil those that spoil them, and rob those that rob them, saith the Lord God. Well, a couple of things. If they're expecting a time of peace, they might do away with their weapons. But also, if this invasion happens before the seven-year period, then there would be no need to preserve the trees. But if you remember the trumpet and bowl judgments that we talked about in Revelation, all the trees and greenery will be burned up. So there really is no reason to preserve the trees if the invasion occurred before the seven-year period. And why preserve the trees if they are going to be burned up during the trumpet and bowl judgments later? However, if the invasion occurs near the end of the tribulation period, things are different. When Israel burns the weapons for 7 years, the trees, the forest, will need that time to recover. And so they will have it. The giving forest time to recover and come back from the great devastation that is going to be up on this earth. Next week, I want to wrap this, or not next week, the week after, I want to wrap this up. The Battle of Armageddon, the return of Jesus, and a time that we know to be the time of the millennium, a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. And I'd be happy to answer any questions, or try to answer any questions you might have concerning this. But I would like you to bow your heads and close your eyes tonight, just in case there is somebody here that is not ready. It's not my desire that anybody would miss the return of Jesus Christ and have to go through this terrible time of God's wrath. I wouldn't wish that upon anyone. I certainly wouldn't wish it upon anybody here tonight. If you're here and you've not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I just beg you to do it during this time of grace. Don't wait. Don't put it off. If you wait until the time of the tribulation, even if you can give your life to Jesus at that time, you'll probably die for your faith. You'll probably have to die for that decision. But again, I question, if you can't live for him now, how will you ever die for him then? And so if there's anybody here, say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I need to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you just raise your hand tonight? Anybody, would you just raise your hand? Amen. And Christians, my challenge to you is basically the same as it was this morning. We need to occupy. We need to work. We need to be about the Father's business. This is our time. This is our time. This is the time for the church. This is what we're for. Father, thank you tonight for laying out for us at least some of the events in the future. Lord, we take courage tonight in the fact that you are such a strong and powerful God. You will destroy this man of wickedness simply with the brightness of your coming. Tonight I pray that that would encourage the believers, knowing that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I ask, Lord, that you would help us to shine during this our time in history. Lord, that each of us would realize that we have been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. May you have your way with each and every one of us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What I would like us to do this evening is find a place of prayer and pray tonight that God would send a sovereign move of His Spirit. He would just send a sovereign move of His Spirit, that He could use you, He could use me, in our place in the world. Hey, if He can have a worldwide revival without radio and TV, He can accomplish things in your life and mine. He's a big God. He's looking for people who are available to serve Him. And so I'd like to just, we'll sing a chorus and we'll make the altars available tonight. I would just encourage you to spend some time in prayer. Just ask God to send a sovereign move of His Spirit to start a revival and to start that in your heart this evening.
Find a place of prayer. If you must go, you can consider yourself dismissed.